is fire and blood.
Everything is dependent on oil.
We are killing for gasoline.
The world is almost out of water.
Water.
Now there's the water wars.
Here they come again.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 52nd episode of Through the Aftermath. Can you believe that you can hear me saying that right now, that this is something that I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know, welcome back. Who would ever hear welcome back and feel like we were going to be dead and in the afterlife, and everybody's like, hey, look who's here.
I mean, we're immortal at this point. I don't know. I think
through the afterlife. Huh.
A spinoff.
Yeah.
A spinoff podcast. So I wanted to get together with Jonathan. You know, it's been a long time. I think the last time we recorded was November of 2013.
That's
which,
true.
Yeah, which to me, I mean, that doesn't even seem that long ago, but it was a year and 2 months ago. And, you know, what we're going to do is we talked about this last episode, the idea to record kind of a Siskel and Ebert type of thing with indie post-apocalyptic films. And short films, because there are a ton of them on YouTube. I mean, just an absolute ton. And when I first thought of this idea, I got together a little list of films, and I showed Jonathan just recently, actually. But I had this list, and I'm going back and I'm watching them now, and on the sidebar, you know, it gives you the recommended ones, and it's got tons of them. And I'm watching these other ones, I'm like, oh, that looks like a good one. Oh, this one looks good. So I keep watching them, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to record, write down which ones I think look best. But so this is definitely something that we can do more often, I would say, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's the thing. Like, when we first started, you know, talking about this kind of thing, I mean, I remember seeing there would be quite a few videos and going, oh, that's pretty good. And to be honest, a lot of them were kind of like, oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, you come back and you look now and it's like, well, whoa, what happened? And it's like, I guess, you know, Adobe After Effects gets the, you know, the cloud pay by month thing, and all of a sudden everybody's a director. And it's like, wow, okay. Yeah, it's amazing. It's some of the stuff out there is incredible stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I want to do is I kind of want to weed through it, you know, for the listeners, and because I think that there's a lot of really quality stuff, and then there's, like you said, there's some stuff where, you know, people got their friends together and just recorded, you know, in an hour, and you know, not to you know, knock that too much, because everyone's got to start somewhere, but I think this is a really good opportunity for us to just kind of sit down and you know, get these and kind of process them through our own experience, I guess you could say. Not that we're, you know, experts, but
yeah.
But I think it's kind of cool to just be able to, you know, tell a little bit about what these are about and our opinions on them, mostly, because, like I was telling Jonathan before we started recording, you know, I don't want to talk an hour about one 4 minute movie, because that doesn't really make sense, because someone could just go watch it for 4 minutes and get their own impression. So we're just going to touch on, you know, the ideas and our favorite parts, our least favorite parts, and then just kind of give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, kind of like a, you know, a Siskel and Ebert thing. And then in the show notes, I'm going to put links to each movie, and then which one of us gave a thumbs up or thumbs down for each one. Just a real simple cut and dry thing, and definitely something we're going to do more often, because I think a lot of these movies deserve you know, some kind of recognition.
Yeah, and in fact, it almost would be good, you know, and I, you know, as the people are probably listening to this, it might even be wise, as you're listening to this, you've now heard that the notes are there on the side, it might even be wise for you to go and watch these and then come back, because some of them are very long. You would watch them in an hour.
Yeah.
Just come back and then, or if you want to just, you know, find out whether or not they're going to be good or whether they're not. You know, you'll probably hear it from us anyway.
I think that's a good point because I intend on giving some spoilers because, you know, when a 4-minute movie, you can't really hide spoilers.
Yeah, that's true. So, at the last 3 seconds, he died. Oh, man, what? No.
It's like, I was almost to that part. I was 3 minutes in.
Spoiled 3 minutes it for and 57 me. Seconds. Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, I think that would be a good idea. You watch them and then kind of, you know, listen to us ramble on about them. So that would...
Yeah, literally, in this way, you get to go through the aftermath with us, and some of it, you know, is worse than others, and so there really is aftermath.
Yeah.
And if you do the math, then there's, like, quite a few, and then after that, you're past it, so you're after the math.
It's like Common Core. I don't know.
I will not read it in a boat. I will not. Oh, never mind.
All right. So let's kind of start out here, and this is going to be, I can't even imagine how long we can talk about this, but, you know, it's been over a year, and a lot has happened to us, you know, in this last year, and so let's just talk, you know, kind of briefly about what we've been up to, and so what have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let's just, like, getting this straight outright, you know, I have never stopped every day working on this mod. I mean, everybody who's around me is just laughing because they're like, you are just going nuts with this thing. Like, every day. I'm not kidding. Like, and just so you know, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last show, but one of the reasons I did the mod was because I wanted to get really good at a lot of the skills that I felt like I was lacking in. Like, I was okay with 3D modeling, wanted to get better, was okay with Photoshop, wanted to get better. Well, the nice thing is, over the last 2.5 years as I've worked on this, it's happened. And, you know, obviously, as I got better at it, I went, oh, wait, this doesn't work really good. And then finally, you know, we were so close and kind of getting to where I could release it. And then I finally went through and started playing the mod through. And then immediately, you know, when you're the only one working on it and you go to try to play it through in your mind in theory, then you finally do it, you start noticing, oh, crap, that did not come across as well as I hoped in this, or you find something that go, you know what, with a little work, this could be better. Mm-hmm. And then likewise, you know, funny enough, bugs wise, it wasn't bad at all because I've gotten good enough with the Gek now that I can almost like I think and it molds itself now. But the nice thing is, like, we are getting to the last official little bit. Now, it's really hard because before I would say this, and I really had no, you know, anybody who's done game development, you try your best to give it a window, but really it's hard to explain what the window will really be, but I can safely say that we are getting down to the last little bit here, and I should be releasing the teaser trailer here pretty quick. And you know, nice. You got to start out with the you know, the typical Fallout, you know, pulling out slowly. That's what she said. Trailer that, and there it is. No, it's you know, that kind of trailer that Fallout would always have, the teaser trailer. I've got to have that just for fun because, you know, I've had fun with this and it'd be kind of neat to kind of set the stage for it. And but I can tell you, oh my gosh, you guys are in for a freaking wild ride. And, you know, and Sean is hearing this still to the point where we're about to finish recording all his lines, and he hasn't heard a lot of how the radio works. And probably, truth be told, I think you've just seen a screenshot. Like, everybody I've talked to, I've kept it quiet. And let's just say that I have 3D modeled till my eyes are bleeding because, which is funny when we talk about some of these movies. It like, for example, I mean, some of the locations, we've got everything from like department stores to bowling alleys to you name it, and all this with flashback sequences and a boss fight. And I mean, all this is just insane to look back and go, I cannot believe one guy did this by himself. But everybody's like, you gonna do another one? I'm like, no. Yeah, whatever I do from here, it'll be post-apocalyptic, I assure you. But this one is going to be for the real deal game. So, yeah. You know, it's been a great experience, though. I can't wait to see what everybody's thinks about it. I mean, it's been almost 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, I remember even when we first started even talking about doing the podcast, you were talking about how you wanted to do this, but you didn't actually start on it yet, I don't think, at that point.
No, it's true, and I think if I had done what I had intended at the beginning, it would have been okay. But see, one of the things that I always kind of get jaded with, and I think it's just that thing about, you know, the way that a lot of these mods work, and is you're seeing just a lot of rehash of the same things. You see the same cookie cutter areas and the same cookie cutter pieces just moved around cleverly. And I wanted to do this. I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to make this be cool in my own way and learn from it and learn how to do like Photoshop work from anything from textures to actual advertisements and posters, you know, name it. Let's make it good. And so I went out of my way to really make sure a lot of the environments you were seeing were legit, right down to locations. I mean, if it's in Barstow, it's got to have that Barstow station where you have like the McDonald's with the train cars. And I had to go through and make all that. And wow. The nice thing is I was scared to death that when I finally saw it all put together, it would just look comical and be like, why did I try? But this time, I mean, I even was showing my wife and she was just like, you made that. No kidding. And I'm like, that's not bad, is it? And she's like, that looks really good. And I mean, actually, it's not called McDonald's. It's McZanky's, which is, you know, a nice inside joke for those who've been part of the, you know, Virgin Worlds podcast community in the past. So it's – yeah, there's inside jokes galore. You're going to love it. And honestly, I mean, Sean got to see a little snippet of what his character looked like when you had him with you and things that he would say and stuff. Oh, yeah. And I can't even begin to tell you how hilarious it is when you get in a location. God, there's got to be like four times more dialogue with our characters than there is with any other one. Like when you go into an area, or like me or Sean always have something to say about it, you know. And yeah, then sometimes it's comical.
I can't even describe to the listeners what it's like – to be able to interact or you were interacting with, and I was just watching the video of watching yourself talk as an NPC in Fallout.
It's amazing. Dead on. It really is.
It's amazing. Well,
it's insane because like anybody who's ever messed with the GEC, it can be a complete nightmare. And I got so doggone good at it. I mean, let's be honest, the first year was almost R&D of what can we try. I'm trying stuff on here that is so off the wall that I'm wondering if even Bethesda's going to go, how in the frick did you do that? You know, because I'm trying stuff underneath with code that's almost like, what in the world? How in the, you know, and what it is just clever camera tricks. It's, you know, places where you've got titles fading in and things coming up on the screen and you're going, wait a minute, how did you do that? And then I turn and nod and smile and go, yeah, you know, but it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see, you know, the radio station sounds phenomenal. And again, you know, you'll hear more about this in just a little bit, but one of the things, you know, you heard me put out to everybody out there is, you know, hey, if you would like to be part of the radio station, you know, what a better way to do it than have like, you know, commercials or little snippets coming from the community. And I touched on it before, and I think now that I have everything put together, I can see much more of what I intend and how it's going to look. So you'll probably see that come forward, and all of you who wanted to help with that, you know, this is the part where I come find you. So
literally.
Yeah, literally come find you. Yeah. hey, show up at the door. Hey, were you serious? Whoa.
That sounds cool. That's I'm excited for it. I mean, like you said, it's been a long time, and just, I mean, you know, you've been talking about it, but then when you showed me that video, it was like, wow, I can't wait. I mean, I've even played New Vegas through several times, and I just recently beat it again. Well, all the add-ons on the PC version, because before I played it on the Xbox. And then, so I played it again just so I can have the PC version done so that when I get the mod, you know, then I could play through that. And it's, I could play that game so many times.
Well, and it's going to be wonderful for you because, I mean, I have even news clips. And Sean has heard some of this because he and I recorded, you know, in the last year, Sean and I recorded about, I think, twice to, you know, add dialogue to the news and stuff. But I've got things from even the DLC that the regular news station doesn't have where we talk about, you know, the Sierra Madre and what happened there and things that are in the DLC that, you know, no one else would talk about. And then it's like, well, screw it. I know where it is in the code. Let's add on to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And in the end, it sounds the system I put together is actually pretty ingenious. It's, you know, and I say that, you know, not trumped up, of course. I mean, literally, like, when I look back at that, I'm thought, you know, for as much time as I spent on it, it's good to know that this might actually work.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. There's inside jokes galore. And, you know, I've had a couple people from the community who lent a hand here and there. So I threw them in, you know, as a sign or, you know, had a couple people ask about the mod and I kind of threw them, hey, let's put you on a billboard, you know, and, you know, a lot of just random stuff here and there. It's going to be a whirlwind.
That's so cool.
Yeah, anyway. It'll be fun.
Cool. As for me, let's see. Where do I begin? No. I guess as far as it relates to post-apocalyptic, the biggest thing I've been doing is costuming. You know, I talked about that for years, I guess, you know, going to Dragon Con in my post-apocalyptic, you know, crazy outfit, and I've refined it, and I brought it back last year, and then this year, or 2014, and that was a lot of fun. There's something about wearing the scariest outfit and then just walking around and having people just look at you like, whoa. I mean, literally, they'll be walking along and they'll go, whoa. That's a lot of fun. But also, I did I was in the parade last year with a G.I. Joe group. Do you remember the Dreadnoks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We did a Dreadnought group, and I was Torch, and it was amazing to me. I'm going to put up some pictures on the probably in the show notes, but it was amazing to me because everybody did such an amazing job getting these characters together, and I always thought of that group as post-apocalyptic. You know, the Dreadnoughts, yeah. they're very, you know. They even like the Thunder Machine, especially, which we had a Thunder Machine. We had an actual working, driving Thunder Machine.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool!
I know, it's amazing. The guy who made it is amazing. He's the one who made the Lord Humongous vehicle from the parade in years past. He took like an old F-150, stripped it off, put an extra axle on there, and just built the Lord Humongous machine, which is amazing. And then this year or last year he built the Thunder Machine, and it was just spot on. I mean, it was amazing how he did it, and that was a lot of fun being a part of that, because it's kind of like I was 12 years old again, but being the character, you know. That's, I don't know, it was really a lot of fun. But another thing that actually branches off of that I've really become interested in is making my own post-apocalyptic vehicles. I've always been a car guy. I mean, since as far as I can remember, my dad and I used to work on cars together, and you know, we had this Camaro that we used to work on, and I've always been a car guy, and I'm to the point now where, you know, I can work on cars really well, and I just love just tinkering with them. You know, if something goes wrong with it, I'm the kind of guy who I won't go out and buy a new part. I'll try to, you know, find some way to rig the old part to make it work. Right. And a lot of that is because I'm dirt poor, but it also because I just think it's cool. I just think, you know, it's just a more creative way of solving the problem. So I have this, there's a couple cars I have that I was thinking about turning post-apocalyptic, but I have this 83 Mercedes-Benz. It's a diesel, and these things are, the reason I got it is because they can run on anything. Like, you can make biodiesel, you can put used vegetable oil in these things, and they'll run on that. And I figure, you know, if the world were to end, this is what you would drive, you know, because the gasoline, I mean, everybody's left the oil and walked away, so, you know, Lord Humongous has all the oil, so now what are you going to do? You're gonna use vegetable oil, so I've been building this thing. I'm not really too far into it, but I'm kind of in the planning stage. But I'm going to turn this thing into a Mad Maxed version of its former self, and I'm really excited about it because I've always wanted to do that. And I think the biggest thing I have to say is I have to thank my wife for putting up with the fact that she has a 39-year-old husband who wants to build a toy basically in the backyard. But I don't know. I'm just going for it, and it's going to be fun, and I'm really excited about it. And it's not going to be too crazy. Like, I'd still like to drive it on the streets, you know, and then like get a license plate for it and keep it street legal.
Yeah.
But it's going to have some crazy stuff on it. So I'm really excited about where that's going to go.
You just get pulled over. The cop's like, leave your vehicle. Walk away. None of you will be harmed. You're like, he sounds trustable.
I'll be like, there's been too much bloodshed.
You're like, there's not enough runway.
Yeah, so that's what I've been up to, I guess.
No, that's awesome. Well, it's funny that, you know, one thing that me and Sean were talking about, it's funny that, like, after we were, you know, it stopped doing the show, all of a sudden, here comes, like, this insane explosive amount of material that I must say at least once a week, what the heck, where was that when we were recording? Like, yeah. You know, games, movies, books, I mean, even stuff that's like I'm listening on Audible, I'm like, where was all this? Where was this stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And it's, I'm ecstatic. I mean, I'm so excited because this is, you know, in the early 80s, well, you know, throughout the 80s, that it was big. And now this is a resurgence, but it's like 10 times bigger. And it's so
cool. I know.
I love it.
Well, and YouTube has made it, like, YouTube and things like that. I mean, the internet's made it more viable. I mean, you've got movies everywhere. You got games everywhere. Now that there's download services, it seems like the whole world, you know, we can thank The Walking Dead for this. It seems like the whole world all of a sudden went on this kick of post-apocalyptic, and they're like, hey, guys, look at this. And we're like, yeah, we already knew. Thanks a lot, wannabe.
Posers.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, poster, I mean,
poser, wannabe. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that, though, we've got Mad Max coming out. Fury
oh,
Road.
Oh, yeah. Okay, like, let us take a moment of silence to thank the great gods for this one. I think that we all, I mean, you saw this lit up on the Facebook forums. I think a lot of us were using expletives and strange visualizations of the fact that we all were like, oh, my God. You know, I think that we all, gave sacrifices that day.
And see, the thing to me, you know, Mad Max, the original, of course, was just in a league of its own. But then you have Road Warrior and Beyond Thunderdome, which were very much car movies, you know, very much just action car movies. And from the trailers we've seen so far, it looks so much in the spirit of those two movies. And it's just, I mean, even the first one, too, I have to give it that, because that first, you know, the first chase and all that stuff it's a theme that's gone through all three movies, and here we are again, but this is on an epic scale. I mean, those vehicles are, I can't even you can't even describe
it. Yeah, he got crazy. The budget he's always wanted and has the visualizations, nothing holding him back now.
Oh yeah, and I just man, I am just blown away by it. I love what I've seen so far. It almost has, you know, a feel of I forgot the name of the director of 300.
No, you're exactly right, though. It does. It has that same kind of fantasy kind of feel.
Yeah.
That visualization, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. But, yeah, and, you know, that's definitely something we're going to talk about a lot more. I mean, May is right around the corner. I'm going to just stow away and hide and go, you know, hide out in a theater and watch that movie a couple times. And then we'll have an episode, I'm sure, where we talk about it in more depth.
Yeah, it's going to be epic. I mean, Tom Hardy, too. I mean, as soon as I heard Tom Hardy, I'm like, is it true? Could it be? And then there were tears.
Yeah. And you know what? From my perspective, I'm looking at this going, I can't wait to see what kind of costume I can make from that movie.
Oh, heck yeah. Now you have, like, an updated version of, like, all the visual you want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is perfect. Well, it's George Miller. I mean, it's great to see, like, it's all the original people, and Tina Turner's not in it. This is going to be great.
It's got the toe cutter.
Yeah, oh my gosh, when I found out that was really him,
yeah.
And I'm like, it's the same guy who played Toe Cutter playing a different bad guy, okay. And then I cried.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be amazing. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into these movies here. We have some. There are some good ones, and there are some bad ones. And I'm not going to pull any punches, and I know you're not. You know, if we see something that we didn't really like, of course we'll mention it. But like I said before, this is pretty much just to give you a recommendation. You know, we're wasting our time, so you don't have to waste yours. How's that?
That's right. That's right.
So this first one is called The Gift. Now this one isn't so much post-apocalyptic. It's kind of what's the word I'm thinking of?
It almost kind of had a mix of, like, I don't, you know, it's funny, for a split second at the beginning, I'm like, it's Metro 2033. But then it kind of turned into this, like, totalitarian, futuristic, Half-Life 2.
Yeah, yeah. And it's dystopian. That's the word I was trying to think
of. Yeah,
it's very, it's very dystopian. But what it is it's basically, it's called The Gift, and it's a Russian short film, which, I mean, right there, you get points for it, and it's got this guy carrying this gift, and he's walking, and there are very Half-Life 2 looking, you know, police kind of standing around and checking him out and everything, but he goes into this building, and you see this robot off to the side. It's a, you know, iRobot looking, you know, a butler, and it's standing off to the side, and you kind of, you know, catch a glimpse of a few CGI effects in here, where it kind of gives you a hint of what's to come. It's very CGI heavy, but the storyline I thought was, I don't know, it was almost like, what, you know, what? After you watch it, you're like, what?
Yeah, very fantasy. You really weren't supposed to know what's going on the whole time, but it was a visual feast for... It was almost... You know what I think of? It's almost like a Pan's Labyrinth. Like, I really don't know what's going on, but I think it just blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so this guy brings the gift. Dude opens it. He stabs him in the neck, and then he runs off, and he gets hit by a bus, and then the robot butler... I mean, I'm flying through this, but the robot butler grabs the box... runs from the cops. It's this huge, you know, chase scene with cops and you know, chasing him. He gets on a motorcycle, and it's like a futuristic Tron looking motorbike, and then he throws the box off a bridge, and a boy finds it at the end. But the crazy thing is, this box, we don't really know what's in it. They never really show, but the guy mentions, the guy who got killed, who opened it, he says it's a unicorn. He says, I've never seen one. And it's like, wait, is it metaphorically a unicorn, or is it...
Yeah, it's the old, what do you call it, like Pulp Fiction, what was glowing on his face, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like that part of it. I like the fact that you're like, what is that? I need to watch
that?
It again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the CGI effects were great. I think the acting was great. I mean, there wasn't a lot of dialogue, but I think it was, for what it was, I mean, it's a four-minute and 42-second, you know, short film. The only thing is, I don't actually, now that I look at it, I'm like, why did I pick this one? Because it's not really, I mean, it's post-apocalyptic, you can tell, in a dystopian way, but it's not like, you know, ruined Earth kind of post-apocalyptic that I usually like. But I think I added it for variety.
Yeah.
But I think overall, though, for me, I would say that it's lacking story. And but the other points I gave were good points. But I would give it a thumbs down, I think. Just, I don't know. Am I being too harsh?
You know, I gave it a thumbs up, and I'll tell you why. Because one of the things about these short films that I came into it realizing is, you know, they might be somebody's weird interpretation. Obviously, they're not movie directors. So what I kind of went into this with is, what is it making me feel? Is it making me kind of like geek out to play something, watch something? Is it kind of giving me that, oh, okay, you hit the nail on the head about the, you know, the feeling alone, you know, kind of seeing if I could get like an emotional reaction from it. And the one thing about this that really took me off guard was, as weird fantasy as it was, because I guess it was in a lot of ways, I think that a lot of these films are sometimes, you know, like these CGI guys trying to kind of put something out there for a portfolio and see if they get recognition. And they did amazing. I mean, the CGI looked insane, but, this one, the one thing I liked about it was I had to give them points for the fact that they were doing these like middle of nowhere, like, you know, Russia by the Kremlin, and it was genuine. I mean, these guys are in the metro, and I'm like, how did they do that? So the fact that they were hitting the head on this, you know, choosing Russia downtown and Russia and in Moscow to do this, and the ships and the Half-Life 2 thing, it kind of like clicked, right? Like, I would like to see more of what you guys were doing there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just wanted more of it. But I give it thumbs up just because it was a visual feast. But again, it made me want to play Metro again. But I'd love to see, like, okay, go back to that story and now write a book, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this next one is called 2 Hours. Now, this one I like. This one, I'll spoil it right now and say I gave it a thumbs up. It's the longest of the videos of the movies that we've watched. It's 26 minutes long. It's a zombie movie. And the premise of it, it's called 2 Hours. So the premise of it is, this guy gets bitten by a zombie, and he has 2 hours before he turns. And a lot of it is, you know, you kind of find this out later in the show or later in the movie, but he basically leaves his girlfriend behind, so he feels bad about it the whole time. And every zombie he sees, every zombie he kills, he sees his girlfriend in them, which I think is a cool story. I mean, I think that's a really great side story. I think the it's not much more than that, though. Like, he's running around, you know, there's action where he's shooting the zombies, and there's some pretty good effects, you know, some pretty good blood effects in there, especially for low budget. I think the story's good. I think the effects are good. I think the cinematography is great. I think the directing and the camera angles, all that is really good. I think it was really, really well done. Even the zombies, the running zombies, you know, which I guess people would call infected. But there's even this little boy who, like, flips out and chases after him, and that just adds a creepy factor, you know, right there. I don't know. But the only thing I didn't like was the voiceover.
Yeah.
The guy's voiceover was so unbelievable. It was like, it brought it way down. It was like a low budget, and they just could have gotten someone else. I mean, I don't think it was the main character. I don't think any of the acting was bad. It's just that voiceover. Oh, it got to me. I don't know.
You're right, because, you know, it's whenever you have like a short film, and anybody who did this in high school knows what I'm talking about. If you ever make a short film where you have like a guy just standing there walking around with a gun, it's a lot harder than it looks, and you can look really hokey real easily. And what this guy, he did it extremely well. Like you said, the zombie stuff was great, But as soon as he started talking, it was just like, I kept thinking of that part in Wayne's World 2 where the one guy's like, Bolton Street, I used to know a girl. And they're like, wait a minute, I know this is low budget. But can we bring in somebody else? And then Charlton Heston comes in. And it's like, that was the piece missing was it was like, hey, great. We appreciate that you were trying to do this yourself. But yeah, like you said, it kind of took away from it. And I'm sure it was, genuinely heartfelt and he did the best he could. But it was one of those where I was like, yeah, us post-apocalyptic people are hard to please. But, that one, I'll agree with you. That was kind of took a little bit away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's crazy about this movie, too, is it won a ton of awards and it's been viewed 1.4 million times on YouTube, which, I mean, it's kind of, I guess it would be the most popular one of this list. These awards it won are crazy. Like, Best Short at the Macabre Fair Film Festival in New York, Best Horror, Best Zombie Short Film, Best Directing. I mean, the list goes on. And the nominations, it's got a ton of nominations. All these selections of all these different indie film festivals. So, I mean, they've done well. We can't take that away from them.
It's like you said, it's like, okay, it's almost like now that the good movie's out there, they're everybody's going to do it now, and now the bar's up.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, I mean, this was released in 2012. Most of these, actually, I think all of these were kind of 2011, 2012, all these ones that we're looking at today, which tells how long ago I wrote this list, I guess.
It's been long in the making.
Yeah. What do you think about it? Thumbs up or thumbs down, though?
I gave it a thumbs up for sure. I mean, like you said, the one thing that they did right, there were some parts in that movie that could have been extremely hokey if they had been done wrong. And like, for example, the flashback with the girlfriend, you could do that scene and just completely blow it out of the water by accident and make it just be hokey and silly. But the girl who played the part, I mean, they kept it straightforward, and the flashbacks where he'd see her face on something else, you almost believed for a split second there. And it was, and like you said, the scenes where he was just kind of like walking through the area, like the fact that he's slowly, and the cool thing I liked about it, I loved that the countdown from 2 hours to the moment you're affected, it kind of flashed forwarding to the, here's what the timeline counting down is now. Yeah. And that was cool. But the fact that at the end, you could really tell this guy was like, he really did look like he was changing. And, that's not an easy thing to fake,
Yeah.
And so he gets points. Like you said, the directing was spot on. And, I out of all of them, it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think it was it's just that voiceover. I mean, they could even redo that voiceover.
Now get Charlton Heston, now that you have some ideas, some connections, and have him be like, yes, when I grew up 2 hours. You know what I mean? It would be like, and at the end, he could just flip out and be like, you blew it up, I would cheer. I would be happy.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so this next one after that is called Outcasted. And this one is, it's kind of based on actually they say in the description that it's based on Shakespeare's play Macbeth. I didn't really see that. I don't know where that comes from, but it's a student film. I think it's Irish.
It sounded like Irish. Somebody out there in Scotland's going, you suck, but because it might be not Irish, but it did sound Irish to me.
Yeah, it is actually here in the description. It says it was Edinburgh Napier University, so yeah, it's Irish. But I liked it a little bit. I mean, I didn't hate it. The premise of it is this group of survivors, and this guy is like the leader, but he kind of doesn't want to be the leader, and he comes back, and I guess he did something wrong where somebody's child died, where he neglect. The child died. So this other woman is kind of blaming him for everything, getting on him about it, and I think she was a great actress. But I don't think the leader guy, his name was Duncan, I don't think he was very good. He mumbled a lot in the show, and I was kind of like, what did he say? What? And I think the sound, I guess in general, was pretty bad. But they're arguing, and you're kind of like, why are they arguing? I guess I didn't get that part, and I don't know. I felt kind of lost in it. I felt like it was a segment of another movie. It didn't have a beginning and end. It was just kind of like bam, and then you're like, what's going on here? I just think, the acting wasn't that great, especially with Duncan. But for the good parts, the setting was great. They had a great setting. It was very, you know, destroyed buildings and everything like that. The music I thought was great too. And this one came out in 2011. It's only a 11 minute and 4 second film, so it's still pretty short. You know, it's something you could kind of jump on and watch, you know, and get your own opinion. But I don't know. I gave it a thumbs down though overall, just because I think that it didn't really take me anywhere. You know,
that's a good point. Actually, first of all, I'd like to apologize to everybody living in Scotland. We we blew that one completely out of the water. We had a 50-50 chance. We went with the left, and it was actually the right hand. And
well, we're Americans. That's our excuse.
Yeah, we're Americans. Yeah. I would make a joke that we think that New Zealand is over by Hawaii, but we've saw Lord of the Rings, and we can't say that now. So. yeah, sorry about that. It is in Scotland. So, sorry to Graham McTavish and half the cast of The Hobbit for that one. But, yeah, so, no, I agree with you. I'd say a thumbs down, but kind of like halfway, because the one thing that did take me off guard is, for one thing, that main lady surprised me with how her acting was. It came, and maybe she overshadowed them by accident, but the one thing that I thought was interesting was it seemed to focus a lot less about what was happening in the world and more about the interlinked, you know, relationship happening behind it. It almost had a feel of like The Village, where you were just waiting for like the relationships to be more than what was really happening outside. But one thing I did like was, and I keep asking myself, like, where are these people finding these locations? Because when they came out of their vault or whatever it was and they were in that warehouse, I was like, where in the heck is that? Because I want to film there.
Yeah.
I mean, everything looked like something off of the game Stalker. And I mean, I must have said that 10 times, like, it's from Stalker. I didn't know that. That's from Stalker. But incredible locations. I give them credit for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think I think that was probably the biggest thing. And I think that woman was a good actress. But it just felt like I didn't know anything about these people. And I know that we were supposed to, you know, realize that the main character woman was kind of a religious fanatic, and that was what they were going for. She kept mentioning God. She kept mentioning
interesting. I did think that was kind of like, oh, that's unusual.
Yeah, and you could tell it was almost like an agenda type thing, and it almost felt too like harsh for that short of a film. And it was you know, where it was like, whoa, like we need some context here. You know, it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, like I said, thumbs down, I think, for that one.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one after this is called Last Strands of Man. This one is, it's 8 minutes long, eight minutes and 22 seconds. It was made in 2012. And it starts off, I don't think this one is too bad the way it starts off. I really had a high opinion or high hopes for it when it started off, because it gave kind of a context. It says, you know, one generation from now, 6.7 billion people cease to exist. So you're like, okay, end of the earth. You know, there's a couple of people left. So you have this group, these three guys, and they attack this little farmhouse. You know, they find this radio, and they hear talking on it, and they go and they attack this farmhouse, and there's some, you know, a little bit of gun action, and that wasn't too bad. You know, there were some nice effects in there where the bullets were hitting the ground and things like that. But I think that the problem that I had with it, though, was it was too much filler. You know, for an 8-minute movie, there was a lot of, like, standing around looking off into nowhere. You know?
Yeah, that is a caveat of like of those post-apocalyptic movies, is they seem to be kind of going almost like they're trying to get their feet wet with how it should look, but they spend like, when you're spending 5 minutes just going around a corner, it's like, okay, the ambient music is starting to sound a little like something made by Vangelis.
Yeah, exactly. And there was no dialogue. There was a couple lines of dialogue, but it was just very, so I don't really know how good of actors these guys were. I mean, I like the fact that they weren't, actually in all of these, I like the fact that these people aren't Brad Pitt, you know, they're just normal dudes and, you know, normal women, and they're just, you know, it's realistic, I think. And this, I mean, they had the really big guy look like Santa Claus. He had a big white beard.
Yeah, and they looked the part.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
For sure.
I mean, just a dude who survived the apocalypse, and now he has a gun, and he's, you know, trying to walk around with these other people and trying to survive. Spoiler alert, he does not survive. but I like, you know, at the end there, they attack that, thing, and it was, the camera work was pretty good. I liked the setting. You know, there was the part with the they had the buses. It was very, I mean, this is, I want to know if it was filmed in my neighborhood, because it kind of looked like it. But
it, you know what's funny? It really did. Like, I was, every time I look at the locations, I'm like, where is that? Like, you know, the one we were talking about with the 22 minutes? Yeah, apparently, yeah. I think it's an episode of Battlestar Galactica here. 2 hours, you know, that one, I was like, that's got to be in Idaho or Montana or something. Yeah. But in yours, I was thinking, it's funny you say that, because I was like, that's got to be Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we could film down the road from us some pretty nice post-apocalyptic shows.
See, I can't film anything unless the aliens crash here, because that's about it. That or we drop a nuke by accident because John Travolta pressed the wrong button.
That's true. Or you could go back to Detroit, and you have lots of stuff to film.
Well, see, the best part about that is everybody, I'd be like, look at the visuals, it's all post-apocalyptic, and they were like, yeah, could you do something to make it more like the end of the world? And I'm like, no, but that is, because that's Detroit. And then they're like, I don't notice. And I'm like, I know, that's sad. But that's how it is, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this one I gave a thumbs down, and it was a reluctant thumbs down, because I didn't think it was too bad. I thought the production was pretty good. It's just, it dragged on. I would have liked to see it go somewhere, or, you know, something. I just think that they were kind of dragging out, because it's only 8 minutes, and that's pretty short. Nothing really happens except this attack on this house. I don't know why. I don't know what was going on. But for what it was, it wasn't that bad, but I just, I still had to give it a thumbs down.
No, I agree with you. You know, the sad thing was, I mean, the camera work was pretty good. The look of it, they nailed the look. Yeah. But the thing I could not get over, and this is the one thing I feel bad for saying this, was the kid. Okay, like, I get that the kid was supposed to be watching and learning. Maybe he was learning from watching these things happen around him and supposed to be affected by it. But I'll be doggone if that kid wasn't looking, waiting for the moment, like his dad was off camera, and he's like, now? Yeah. Wait, now? And you're just like, kid, you look like you're sitting there, like, waiting for a bell to ring or something, because he just had this perpetually, like, half-baffled look on his face. And the poor kid, I mean, he was probably just trying his best, but the whole time I was just sitting there going, this kid looks like he has to pee. And when you're in the forest with two large guys and that's what you're thinking, then it's like, yeah, this is you know, this is a little more, it's too much deliverance and not enough the road. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, so let's see. This is the fifth one. Is called When They're Gone. This one is really short. It's only 4 minutes and 20 seconds, and it was made in 2012. And this one actually won, well, according to their description, it's second place best drama at the Multimedia Film Festival of York Region 2013. So, it got second place. It won something. This one I liked a lot more than the last couple. I thought the voiceover was great. You know, that's something I was really looking forward to, a good voiceover after the other one. But great voiceover. I think the guy, the main character, was he was realistic, and, you know, I wanted to kind of find out his story. He's telling his story. He's, you know, he lost his wife and he's looking for her, and that's the whole thing. He's looking for his wife in the wasteland. I don't like the fact that he's wearing a trench coat. I don't know why. It just seemed unrealistic. Like, I guess I expect everyone to dress like Mad Max, you know, when they're looking for their wife in the wasteland. But
yeah.
But other than that, you know, he was kind of disheveled looking, and, you know, and he had that going for him. But overall, you know, the voiceover is great. I think it was too short. I wanted to see more. You know, at 4 minutes, when it's over, you're like, what happened to him? What happened to this part? And so, I mean, I think that was the only bad part, which isn't really a bad part. I mean, I guess if the directors did their job well for a short film, they want you to want more. You know, so I think maybe they did their job there. But I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I did too. I think the one thing is, it was one of the few that, and it's funny that this ends up being sort of like a trap, but honestly, a lot of these films that are made seem to be a lot of wandering and random gunfights and peering around corners. And the one thing about this one was it seemed to have a point right from the beginning, which I appreciated. And like you said, it was, you know, definitely one of the stronger of them. I mean, the fact that the storyline alone, you know, it's like, oh, I see where this is going, you know, and it was, you know, I enjoyed it. I give it thumbs up too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, going along with that is the next one, which is called Population One. it's kind of the same thing. It doesn't really have a voiceover, though. I don't think it has any words at all. But, you know, this guy, he's more military. He's dressed in camo. He's got, you know, a gas mask and a gun. And for a movie called Population One, there sure were a lot of other people in it. I mean, there was not a lot, but there was another guy we saw, and then there were jets that flew overhead.
That's a good point. Like, it was like Population One, well, within a 50-mile radius, you know, 50-foot radius.
Yeah. And I kept thinking, like, he kept hearing noises, and he kept, you know, turning, and I'm thinking, is this all in his head? Is that where the Population One part? But no, there was another guy there. So it's like, wait a minute.
He's a very arrogant man if he thinks he's the last man on Earth. Like, it's like, I am legend. No, you're not. Oh, man, what?
Yeah. But I like the suspense of it. This is another one where it dragged on. I mean, it's 6 minutes, 13 seconds. This was made in 2012 again. But like I said, it dragged on. It got to the point where you're like, you know, what's going to happen? And then you hear like the creature at the end, which was pretty exciting. But the thing that bothered the heck out of me, and you probably know what I'm going to say here, is the fake sound effects.
Yeah.
The footsteps were just... it was a canned, you know, you could tell that they did this, you know, post-production or something, and they just used these fake footsteps, and he's walking, and it sounds like he's walking in tap shoes, and it's so distracting, and like, he picks up his gun, and it's like, you know, it's just these over-the-top sound effects, and it's a shame, because it did distract from the story, which was more of a horror setting than the other movies. You know, this one, there was some kind of creature out there that you couldn't see, and it grabbed this other guy that we talked about, and you know, it ripped him up, and you saw the blood. But you know, the sound effects were I just thought were lacking.
Well, the other thing too, this is a curse of trying to decide when I watch these whether I'm going to let it go or not. Is one of the things I think we're all kind of there in some point. We don't nitpick all the details. We're not all of us are military, but you do see little things here and there where you're slapping your head going, you know, if they'd have just watched this one piece of detail, it could have changed it for me. The one thing I couldn't stand is just how comical some of it was, like the fact that, so the, you know, the guy sees the building. Okay, there might be somebody there. So he brings out the, you know, the thing for his arm. He locks, basically has the submachine gun. And he finally brings out the end of it. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you were going to walk in and just shoot with your hands. Okay. Yeah. So you didn't already have that locked. And then he goes in, and what does he do? Somebody's out in the forest that he can't see. So he just lights up the darkness in the forest. And I'm like, you don't even know if that guy's friendly. You don't know who that is. In the end, he's shooting at the wrong guy. Cause what, the monster was the other guy was probably shooting at the monster, but yeah. Guess what? Now you've given away your position and you're in the light. Well, and I think it's just like, what?
His tap shoes probably gave away his position.
Oh, that's
already.
True. That's true. He was, yeah, and that's why the monster hadn't killed him, because he was like, well, that's entertaining. I can eat while I listen to you. But it was one of those like things where the little minute details where it's like, you know, you would see where somebody like sets the gun down, but they set it down like the wrong way, and you're like, oh God, that alone might just do it for me, because it just looks amateur, you know, just yeah. A little bit of detail on how would you hold a gun. You know, don't you know, obviously you're not going to hold a pistol sideways, because that will take your arm off, you know, things like that. But yeah. this poor kid, I mean, you could just tell he was like so happy to be there. And you know what? Points for the gas mask. That was an interesting touch. That couldn't have been easy to do, but everybody seems to – I got to assume that everybody's kind of taking from Stalker, because the trench coat, you know, submachine gun, gas mask thing. I'm like, I think that Russian pop culture has – solidified its place in post-apocalyptic storyline, and that's okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, that you have to. That's the baseline right there.
Yeah, they win. Actually, I think they're 2 points ahead. I think it's time for, you know, I want more.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about with the details. I mean, in 2 hours, the other movie, the second movie we mentioned, there was a he kept shooting his gun, and he would run out of bullets, and he would just go.
And then he throws the gun.
Well, not only that, but in that kind of gun, when you run out of bullets, the slide goes back and it sticks, and that's a nitpicky thing, I know, but it's I kept thinking, like, he's not actually out of bullets, because the slide didn't go back.
The slide didn't go back.
Yeah. So I mean, I you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if they would have researched that just for a second, then they would, you know, throw that in there just to make it more authentic, and you know, but yeah, nitpicking.
Well, in 2 hours, they get points for the guns. But one thing I just thought of, there was a couple places where, you know, you would see the gun and he would point it. And for a split second, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And even my son, who's 8 years old, goes, there's orange on the gun. My son had it tagged because, I actually have one of those Aerosoft rifles because they're great, you know. But for gosh sakes, paint the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think I saw that too, and I was like, really?
It does. It makes it look hokey, and you know, nothing against it, but I thought to myself, like, if that's winning an award, I'm doing the wrong business here. Like, let's see what John and Sean come up with. You know, we'll film it separately and green screen ourselves in.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I could do. Actually, I've been doing a lot with the green screen. You never know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then someone could watch our show and pick us apart.
Yeah, exactly. They could be like, you can tell he's not even there. But I'm like, haha, I was the one green screened. You didn't know. Aha.
And you have like a green scarf on, so it looks like your head is just floating.
Yeah, it looks like my head is floating. And then we could do Planescape Torment next.
There you go. Morte. Nice. So yeah, that's the last one. Did you say thumbs down on that one?
You know, I gave it like a thumbs down just because of the little things that nitpick. But one thing I will say is every single one of these, even the ones that get thumbs down, it was hard because you have a very black and white call at the end. But every one of these definitely got points for visuals. I mean, every location that, you know, some of the mountain vistas, the broken down warehouses, that was stuff that even, you know, even Sean and I were, you know, I know we were both like, whoa, you know, like there's some pretty jaw-dropping stuff, and it's almost like the sad thing was that the jaw-dropping scenery almost one-upped, you know, the people right down to like the train track in that 2 hours when he was going down the train, the railway, and the cars. And I'm like, wow, how'd you nail that? You know,
yeah, yeah.
How did you walk down the train tracks with a gun and not have like feds all over you in 30 seconds? You know, like there's another one, get him. You know,
yeah. And I liked also, we keep going back to 2 hours, but that was my favorite. There was that whole like section of it where it turned into a first person shooter.
Yeah, the first person camera.
Yeah, that's, I thought that was cool. Point. It had like his gun right there. It looked just like a first person shooter game where it had, you know, his gun right there in the front and he's shooting the zombies, and I'm like, that, see, that applies to people. A lot of people play first person shooters, especially people who would watch that film, and they're like, yeah, there you go, you know, that's a little Call of Duty or, you know, yeah, Left 4 Dead thrown in there. So yeah, I think that was pretty cool.
And it looked good. I mean, it didn't look like somebody's like half-baked, you know, Skyrim spoof on YouTube. I mean, it actually looked genuine. And one thing I will say, and one of the reasons me and Sean keep coming back to this movie is because, first of all, it was longer than everything else.
Yeah.
And so there was more detail. But the one thing I thought was interesting was whenever you do a post-apocalyptic thing or a zombie movie or whatever, the zombie part, if you don't get the zombie part right, your whole film is gone. And I don't know where he found these people or if they went to some Romero, you know, school of zombies. But even the little kid, I'm just like, how'd you get the little kid to do that so well? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, that kid was he was kind of the star of that little part of the movie because
he jumps
off that chair and he runs at him and you're like, wow.
It's like, how'd you get I mean, you were just waiting for things like that. And it's one thing I do like is I do like when people in some of these films will use stock footage, and I have no qualms with that because you look at some of the most incredible, powerful films, or depressing, depending where you want to go with this. But like for example, you know, Threads. You know,
oh yeah.
More often than not, it's stock footage they use, but you do it correctly, and it adds on to what you have in the right way without having to get crazy. But the one place from here on out, if we do these, I'm going to keep this in mind. I'm going to start giving points to the films where they actually did more with less. Like if they, you know, M. Night Shyamalan style where then what you don't see is more frightening. You know, a lot of sound effects and like the monster. You never saw the monster, but you got enough visual to go, oh, there's something back there. And if they can pull that off, or, you know, even the noise of things flying over, and it's like, wow, they portrayed that without actually having to spend a single cent on any kind of CGI, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that they get points for that because that is not an easy thing to do.
Oh, I agree. And I've also, when I watched these, I approached it from the standpoint where, you know, these aren't big budget Hollywood films, so we can't, you know, we can't get too much on the acting because these are people who are, you know, making millions of dollars, and, you know, the CGI, they're not, you know, they don't have the latest technology. So I try to kind of gloss over that. It's kind of like, you know, when you play an indie game, you know, and it's an 8-bit game, and you can't say, oh, the graphics are horrible, because that's the character.
It's
of
not
it.
Fair.
Yeah. So I understand that that's, you know, the that's a big part of it, is you know, the indie and the budget and all that, and so that's overlooked. But I think that in the case of Outcasted, where the woman was a great actress but the man wasn't, and a couple of the other people weren't. So I mean, I think that contrast right there, it kind of redefines it. If they were all bad actors, then it would be like, okay, this was done in an afternoon with a couple friends, you know, I'm not going to really get on them about that. But when one is really good and then the other one's really bad, it's like someone had to say something at some point there.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, well, you could tell in some of those where the guy in the background almost seemed to be going, I think we picked the wrong guy. Yeah. You have to bring your uncle. But see, that's how it is, like with the one for like 2 hours, you know, the voiceover. You know, we say that because we love the show. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like having the friend where you're like, dude, I'm your friend. That's why I'm telling you you're fat. And he's like, that was rude. And I'm like, but I'm telling you because you're my friend. And he's like, I appreciate it, but that was rude. And you're like, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if one of the other movies that were, you know, more lower budget, they had that voiceover, I wouldn't have said anything. But that movie with that voiceover just didn't work.
It was so close, too. Yeah, so. But, you know, now the other thing, too, is now me and Sean have gotten a little more alerted with the way these films think and work. And I think that because these are older and there's been a lot of newer ones. And again, I don't think, you know, half joking, but half serious, I can't believe, like, even from my own point of view, that you know, when Adobe chose to make the cloud service where you could pay monthly to get the entire Adobe Creative Package, that was like insane for the whole world. Like people, like even myself, I would not be able to do this mod without that. And so, but the fact that it opens up Adobe After Effects and Premiere, I think you're going to start seeing even more independent films just jumping off the racks, because we can do stuff very easily nowadays that compares with some big budget Hollywood stuff that honestly people would laugh at if you tried it, like, you know, 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It'll be good to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And next time we do this, we're gonna take a look at some newer ones. We'll try to mix it up a little bit. And I'm really gonna you know, check out a lot of them. Maybe even I like having bad ones that we can talk about.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, there are some where it's just so bad you're like, ah, it's not really worth talking about.
Yeah.
You know. So we'll get a good list going. You know, you and I will kind of, you know, come together and get some of our favorites. I think that would be a good thing. Maybe even if we both, you know, we both found like maybe five, we got our favorites out of those, and then, you know, I think that would work out.
Yeah, I think that, and these ones are easy to do. I mean, we watch a couple there, and, you know, and then you guys can watch them before you listen to the show, or after if you, like, you know, don't want to listen to the bad ones, you know, and then it's easy to just kind of run off of these without, you know, having to have it be, you know, too complicated.
Yeah. Well, cool. I think this is a good episode. I was really excited. I've been waiting so long to do this episode, and here it is. It's you know, as long as the recording doesn't break, then it's done.
Oh, I know. It's somebody out there right now is like, you know, this episode was good. I mean, even thumbs down, because honestly, they didn't sound believable and the voiceover was awful. And then I'm like, who was the voiceover? And then we find out, you know, it's like, wait, there was no voiceover. And then it's scary because they might be schizophrenic. But you never know. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. All right. So next time we do this, I don't know if the next episode will be this again. You know, might have some other ideas, but this is something definitely we want to revisit maybe every couple months or every couple episodes, not every couple years.
Definitely not. I mean, a lot's changed. I think our schedules have opened up a little bit. And one thing before, because I know somebody's going to ask this, before you ask, of course we're going to do a Mad Max episode. That's what we were born for here. I think everybody who's involved listening to this is all going, and there will be right in the world once again.
Yes. Exactly.
Can't wait.
And there have been a ton of post-apocalyptic movies that have been released since last time we recorded. I mean, we have a backlog. So
we have
plenty of material to talk about forever, until the apocalypse, and after.
Yeah, it's true. Because, like we said, we can do this in the afterlife as long as... I mean, Skype is easier to use there because everybody can just think things. And it's like, you know, there we are.
Yeah. I mean, if we still did the show after the apocalypse, it would just be full circle. And then by that time, we would just be like apocalyptic hipsters. Because
that's
be like,
true.
We've been doing this before the apocalypse.
Back in our day, you had to record with your voice. And then all the kids are like, that's so dumb.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well...
All right, well, let's say our goodbyes, and if anyone wants to email us, I don't even remember. It's
Look for us on Facebook. Actually, truth be told, we should mention this. The Facebook community, you know, it's even though it's been, you know, quiet sometimes and busy sometimes, it always seems to be the central location where we all sort of pop in. Because I'm not on Facebook all the time, but I definitely watch for those emails that say somebody was on there saying something.
Oh, yeah.
So look for more updates there. Look for a large change in our website soon, because I wanted to wait till it was ready to do before I did. But you'll notice a slight change in the website because of the upcoming mod. And then it'll actually link you also to the mod. So you'll see a lot of that ramping up, and hopefully a trailer here pretty quick.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, so I mean, we've got throughtheaftermath.com and then the Facebook page, which is linked from the site. And like Jonathan said, that's kind of the main, I mean, that's our forum. That's our, you know, we go on there and we just talk about, you know, a movie we saw or something. You know, somebody will show something that is post-apocalyptic and we talk about it, throw some smart comments out here and there, and you know, and that's our community. So it's great.
It's been fun.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, check those out, and just let us know. Let us know how you like this episode, and if you just think that we should never ever do this again.
That's right. If you think that we're getting old and this just sounds ridiculous, then you know, we understand, and we'll go lay down.
Take a nap.
All
right. So from me and Jonathan,
stay alive out there with Bad Boys over. In Scotland.
Thumbs down.